بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome and Jazakallah for joining us for today's lesson. And today, inshallah, we'll be reading from volume 1 of Hayat al-Sahaba. We have reached, alhamdulillah, page 102. Alhamdulillah, this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He enables us to be a part of this great effort of deen. The effort of reminding each other, the effort of reminding ourselves, the effort of learning about Islam. This is a great effort to taking out time and sitting and learning. And we ourselves, we should always take steps towards bettering ourselves, increasing our iman. We shouldn't feel scared to start changing our lives. Today in our lives, we see that to make change, shaitan makes us look at it like it is a mountain, like it is a mountain. But to climb that mountain, you only need to take steps. You don't have to jump to the top of the mountain in one day. To climb that mountain, we are taking small steps. Similarly, when Islam was established, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given Nabuwat, when Islam was established and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given Nabuwat, he didn't directly go and start giving da'wah to the people openly. He gave dawah to the people around him first. So this is what we have to do. We have to bring ourselves closer to Islam, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think of it like this is a hard task, because this way then we will not be able to do anything. And I experienced that when ulama publications, they invited me for this book reading the first time. I thought to myself, what will I do? What will I read? My English is not so good. I cannot read so well. And I start looking at it like a mountain. I start seeing all the challenges in front of me. And it was overwhelming and I was scared. And I thought, how will I do this? How will I be a part of such a great effort? And, you know, by me being a part of it, I will just ruin it. But alhamdulillah, with encouragement and mashwara, alhamdulillah, we started this, and slowly, slowly now, alhamdulillah, see, we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us that we have gone through maybe 30 or 40 pages from the book, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we have managed to learn so much in that time, in that period. Me as well, myself, I get to learn the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It reminds me of their efforts, their sacrifices, of the challenges they faced. Nowadays, we think we are in our bubble. We're thinking that we're the only ones in problems. And when people tell us that, look, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they brought iman, we say, yes, that was them. But when we read the stories, we realize that Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had emotions like we do. They had fear like we do. They faced challenges. In fact, they faced even more challenges than we are facing today. And when we realize and read the stories, we realize that if they could do it, then why can't we? If after facing all these challenges, if they could do it, why can't we? And reading about how they coped with their challenges, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam invited them to deen, it's a real inspiration for us. It's a motivation. So let us begin today's class with page number 102, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave da'wat to pairs, where he was giving da'wat to more than one person at once, with two people. Pairs is two people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu an and Hind radiallahu anha to Islam. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu an narrates that he was a young boy riding his donkey, while his father, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu an, was riding another animal with his wife Hind sitting behind him. They were proceeding to Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha's farm when they heard the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressing his son Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, "O Muawiyah, dismount the donkey so that Muhammad may mount." When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mounted the donkey, he rode ahead for a while, and then he turned to the family saying, "O Abu Sufyan bin Harb, O Hind bint Utbah, I swear by Allah that you shall definitely die, after which you shall certainly be resurrected. Thereafter, the good shall proceed to Jannah, while the evil ones shall heed to Jahannam. I am telling you the absolute truth, and you too are among the first to be warned about Allah's punishment." Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the following Quran verses: Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hameem, Tanzeelun Minar Rahmanir Rahim, Kitabun Fussilat Ayatuhu Quranan Arabiyyan Liqawmin Ya'lamun, Bashiran Wa Nadhiran, Fa'arada Aktharuhum Fahum La Yasma'un. وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروا وويل للمشركين. Let's read this translation first. Hameem, these letters of the Quran, Hameem, these letters, we don't know the meaning of these letters. This letter, the meaning of these words, Hameem, Yasin, Alif, Lam, Meem, only Allah knows. Yes, the Mufassireen in the Tafsir, they have speculated the possible meanings to what these may mean. But Wallahu Alam, that Allah knows best what these words mean. A revelation from the most compassionate, the most merciful. A book, the verses of which have been clearly explained as an Arabic Quran for a nation with knowledge. It is a carrier of good news for the mu'mineen and a warner for the kuffar. However, instead of listening to the warnings, most of them turn away and do not listen. The kuffar say to the anbiya and those who call them to iman, "Our hearts are veiled from what you call us towards. We do not understand you, and there are props in our ears. There is also a barrier between you and us, so do as you please." "We shall do as we please." Say to them, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I cannot force you to accept because I am just a human being like you. I cannot force you to accept because I am just a human being like you. Revelation has been sent to me that your ilah is only one. So remain devoted to him and seek forgiveness for him from him. Remain devoted to him and seek forgiveness from him. Destruction, Jahannam, be to the mushrikeen who do not pay zakah and who disbelieve in the akhirah." So let's stop there for a second and let's just ponder over what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informing them. The very Quran that is revealed, that we have today in front of them, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used for da'wah. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting to them as the form of da'wah towards Islam. Today, this is the very Quran that we have today. And if we read these verses, we will understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was inviting them to the worship of one Allah. And he was giving them glad tidings of Jannat, and he was warning them of Jahannam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was warning them of Jahannam. And today, if we read, we can learn the same lessons that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching the people of his time. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was teaching the people of his time, we have the very same words in front of us. Subhanallah. This is the amazing thing about Islam, that the da'wah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not been lost. The Quran is there, the words are there. It's for us to pick the Quran up and to read the verses. So let us carry on reading. You know, in the first half, I should have read with Tajweed, but I was very nervous. You know, reading on a live stream with Tajweed is a bit nervous. So inshallah, we will try and correct that inshallah and try and read with the rules of Tajweed inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون قل أئنكم لتكفرون بالذي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها وقدر فيها أقواتها وقدر فيها أقواتها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها قالتا أتينا طائعين. الحمد لله. You know, when we read Quran, we should learn to read with tajweed. We should learn to read with tajweed so we can make sure that we pronounce every single letter correctly. If we make a difference, like a mistake in our wording, sometimes we can change the whole meaning of the Quran. And this is why when we see in some versions of the Quran, there's certain places where there's a line. And that means it's very important that in those places we do not change the meaning, because it can change very drastically. And sometimes in our salah, when we change the some wordings, you can change, can take you towards kufr, meaning the meaning can be meaning of kufr. And also it can also invalidate our salah. So we have to make sure that we learn the rules of tajweed while reciting Quran. And if we have a practice of reading the Quran, but we have a practice of reading the English, when we read the Arabic, we will feel the nur, we will feel the impact of those verses. We will feel the impact of the verses by reading it in Arabic, in reading it in the language that it was revealed in. And for every letter, we are getting 10 rewards. So if we read Alhamdu, that's Alif is 10, Lam is 10, Ha is 10, Mim is 10. That's 40 rewards just for reading Alhamdu. Just for reading Alhamdu is 40 rewards, subhanAllah. Because it counts as four letters. This is why if we were to read Surah Fatiha, imagine the amount of rewards that we would receive. So let us make a practice. If we don't know how to read the Quran, or we're not sure about how to our tajweed, we should contact people who can teach us. There are so many people nowadays, they teach online. We should contact them and we should seek advice from them so we can get lessons from them, inshallah. Inshallah, let us carry on reading. Destruction Jahannam be to the mushrikeen who do not pay zakah and who disbelieve in the akhirah. On the other hand, there shall certainly be an everlasting reward, Jannah, for those who have iman and who do righteous deeds. Say, do you people really disbelieve in and ascribe partners to the being who created the earth in 2 days? It is he who is the Rabb, the Rabb of the universe. And in addition to all this, Allah has also placed mountains on the surface of the earth, blessed the earth, and stipulated the earth's provisions in 4 complete days. This is sufficient as a reply for those who question you about the creation of the earth. Thereafter, Allah turned his attention to the sky, which was smoke, and said to it as well as the earth, come to us, submit to us willingly or unwillingly. Both replied, we shall come willingly. Subhanallah. From this, look how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is warning them. That look, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the earth. He created everything. He created the skies. He put fountains on the earth. How can we still not realize that someone must have created all this? That someone must have created all this around us. How can we not realize this? How can we still think that this may have come out of nowhere? So it's important to know the story of these two Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that him and his wife. His wife's father died in the battle of Badr. So she took an oath that she would take revenge. And her father was killed by Hamza radiallahu anhu. This was before that incident. So she hired a slave and said, if you kill Hamza radiallahu anhu, I will set you free. And that slave, he in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, the next battle that took place, he found his chance and he killed Hamza radiallahu anhu. And then afterwards they mutilated his body. And that's the state that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam found him in. And even if we go to battle of the location of Uhud, we will find that, I don't know still, but at one time his grave used to be there. If they have moved it now, Allahu alam, but at that time, at one time in Yusko, they say this is the grave of Hamza radiallahu anhu. Still after this, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Makkah, she eventually became Muslim, and her husband also eventually became Muslim. And they lived on after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they also participated in other battles. And in one battle, when the Muslims were losing, she came out, it was in another, not in that place where they had gone on an exhibition. And when the Muslims were losing, she came out and she gathered the women and started, they started motivating the Muslim men fight. So she stood up also for Islam, subhanAllah. She stood up for Islam. And today their lives is an example for us that look, even though they had done so many wrong things, they had killed the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their eyes, they accepted and submitted. Today, sometimes we do so many wrong things to people, then we realize I have wronged them. But we are scared. Or our ego hits that, no, if we go and apologize to that person, or we go and say sorry, we'll be admitting our mistake. We will be admitting our mistake. That's because we do not fear Allah. If we fear Allah, we would rather go and apologize to that person and say, please, you know, forgive me, and then we will face whatever torment they may give, or whatever words they may say to us, or whatever anger they may take out on us. But at least in Allah's eyes, we are clear that on the day of Qiyamah, we are not punished for these wrongs. So look, after all this that she had done, that she had killed the uncle, that she had Hamza radiallahu anhu martyred, she had him killed in the battle of Uhud, yet still when she realized and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guidance written for her, she submitted. She submitted herself and accepted Islam. Subhanallah. These are the examples to show us that even though we may have done so many wrongs, we still have an opportunity, we still have a chance to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We still have an opportunity and we still have a chance to apologize to those people who we have hurt. It is only our ego, only our own ego that is stopping us from making amends with people. And this is what causes disunity in families. This causes disunity in families because people are not willing or ready to apologize. Everybody wants to, the people who have been wronged, they want to apology. And sometimes they accept, okay, we accept him, but that person is not willing to accept his own mistake. So we have to start realizing our own mistakes. We need to start thinking about what we are doing wrong instead of all the time looking at other people. Other people who cause fitna, they are people to speak out against them. But people within our own circle, within our own families, we should start nitpicking their mistakes and thinking we are better than them. We should live a life of as an example to them of how to be. We should show a new way, the way of Islam. Look, this is what Islam teaches. That maybe by seeing us, we will become an example for them and they will do what we are doing. But if we think that, oh, that person in my family or my brother is like this, so I am going to be like this with him, Oh, my sister is like this, or my cousin is like this, or this person is like this. So I am also going to be like this. Then what difference is there between us and them? There is no difference between us and them. No, Islam teaches us to be an example. Look how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an example for the whole ummah. His actions were an example for us. His words were advice for us. His words were a teaching for us. His words became guidelines for us. His words became part of the Islamic laws in Sharia. So sometimes to fight against all the wrongs that is happening is by doing good yourself. And you start doing good, you start carving a new path that other people will see, and you will become an example for them, inshallah. So let us think in this manner. Let us divert our mind and think, let us be an example for others, inshallah. And those people who see us and they say, that's how we should be. Then when they also start doing the good things because through us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the way, then we will also become a means for other people. Let us carry on reading, inshallah. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu an then said, "Have you finished, O Muhammad?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Yes," and then dismounted the donkey. When Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu mounted it again, he turned to Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu an and said, "Did you make my son dismount for that magician?" Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu replied, "I swear by Allah that he is neither a magician, neither nor a liar. He is neither a magician nor a liar." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites Hazrat Talha radiallahu an and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu an to Islam. Hazrat Yazid bin Ruman narrates that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu an and Hazrat Talha radiallahu an followed Hazrat Zubair radiallahu an to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the two, Hazrat Talha radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Zubair radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallam, he presented Islam to them, recited the Quran to them, informed them about the rights of Islam, and promised them Allah's munificence. Both of them accepted Islam and acknowledged the message. Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu then said, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have just arrived from Sham. When we were between Ma'an and Zarqa, we fell into a slumber and then heard a caller announcing, 'Oh, you sleeping ones, get up, because Ahmad had arrived in Makkah.' We then heard of you when we reached." Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu was among the first to accept Islam even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started coming to the house of Arqam. From all these lessons, we learned that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving da'wah to everybody who he met. Today, how many people we meet, how many times do we talk about Islam, how many times? In fact, you know, if we meet someone and then we feel shy giving them da'wah, and if they are non-Muslim, we feel shy inviting them to Islam. It's like we are not sure ourselves that is this the correct religion. This is because we don't have a practice of giving da'wah. When we have a practice of giving da'wah, we meet someone and we greet them, we talk to them, we start talking about things, then we come to the talk of religion, we start mentioning about Allah. This is how we would invite non-Muslims to Islam. And when we meet our Muslim brothers and we talk about Islam to them, and when the sisters meet their sisters and they start talking about Islam to them and giving them da'wah and telling them, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared Jannah for us. If we do this, we will end up in paradise. Once we have this practice and we start practice to do this, then when we meet people, it's easier to give da'wah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full time doing the work of tabligh. Yani he was tabligh, meaning that he was full time inviting people to Islam. Full time he was inviting people. He would meet someone and say, "Look, become Muslim, you'll enter paradise. Save yourself from Jahannam. Save yourself from the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the mountains. Look all around you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything. Look at the rain is coming. We bring this rain down. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this rain down. Look at the crops. All these things are growing. Someone must have made these things grow. It's not us. We only planted the seed. Look at the human beings all walking around. Where did they come from? It is not us who created the humans. So the tools of dawah are with us. The Quran, the tools which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give dawah with, are with us. The same impact that these verses had on the non-Muslims of that time, it can have an impact on the non-Muslims of today. The same impact that these verses and the sayings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had on the Muslims of that time, it can have that same impact on the Muslims of today. But it is our duty and responsibility to start mentioning the Quran verses to people, to reminding them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, to motivating them, to encouraging them, to inspiring them, and finally to warning them. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was doing, and this is what we should be doing also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam invites Hazrat Ammar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Shu'ayb radiallahu anhu to Islam. Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu narrates, I met Shu'ayb bin Sanan radiallahu anhu at the door of Arqam's house. I asked him, what are you doing here? He asked me, what are you doing here? I replied, I want to meet Muhammad and hear what he has to say. He then said, I have the same intention. We entered the house and met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He presented Islam to us and we both accepted. We then stayed there the entire day until the evening when we secretly left. Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Shu'ayb radiallahu anhu accepted Islam after 30 odd people had already accepted Islam. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Ameen. So the house of Arqam was a, as I remember, it was a place where the Muslims used to gather. Secretly, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go there and the Muslims used to come there in Makkah. This was before the Hijrah. And at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving dawah, and he used to sit there, and people used to come there, meet him, and they used to listen to what he had to say, and they would accept Islam. So similarly, in a way, today, nowadays, we have talks. You know, we go to people's houses. Sometimes ulama have talks where they sit and people come and they sit with them. And similarly, the way we are doing now, but in that one, it was more in a secretive manner because of the amount of torment that the Muslims were going through. Today, subhanAllah, we are not going through torment. Now, the sort of oppression is going on around the dunya, and we are all screaming our heads off. But this happened to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They did not march on the streets. They did not protest. This happened in that time. In that time, they were munafiqin. In this day and age, they're munafiqin. In that day, there was oppression. In this day, there is oppression. But they stayed strong on deen. That is the difference. The difference is that even in that time, they could not openly do ibadat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the masjid once, and he was praying, he was in sijda, they put part of the intestines of the camel on his back. Until Fatima radiallahu anha, she came and she removed the intestines, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then got up from sijda, from prostration. So look, the oppression also was happening in those days, far worse than it was happening today. Today we are able to go to the masjid. We are able to pray our salah in the masjid. We are able to give dawah. We are able to say the name of Allah. And yet we feel so oppressed that now we have to start marching. We have to start doing this and we have to start doing that. And we are starting to do those things that are not in Islam. It's the prescription that Islam has given. We are not following that prescription. Islam allows us to protest, it allows us to protest in a certain manner. Islam allows us to march, it allows us to march in a certain manner. But we are not now following that. Now, how can disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the situation? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our purpose is to act upon Islam, and now Muslims are being oppressed and we want the help of Allah, how will disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the situation? This is what we have to ponder, what we have to really think about. You know, if we read about idol worship after the time of Nuh alayhi salam, just a rough summary is that the people did not go straight to idol worship. It was a slow progression. It was a slow progression with each generation starting to add something new. So even though they started making idols or they started making figures, they knew that this is not God. This is maybe a figure of someone pious. It's a reminder. We look at it, we remind what he used to say. And as generations went on, they seen that the generation before used to look at these idols and take barakat from it. So as the generations went forward, they perceived that, oh, if these idols must have been something great, because we've seen our parents standing here and maybe supplicating, maybe doing this or that. So then they started thinking, this is our God. So they started doing sijda. Eventually, people started worshipping. Similarly today, what is happening? We have our religion of Islam, the Sharia. Now, slowly, people want to bring things with good intention, certain actions that have freemixing, or certain actions that may be wrong in Islam, but we have good intentions. The next generation, they will see our forefathers or our fathers or the ulama, when we were young, we seen that they were in mixed events and they did this with good intention. We know it's wrong, they did this with good intention. So now in this generation now, people will not come even if it's mixed unless there's some sort of party. So let's hold some sort of party with good intentions. And the generation after that will say, oh, you know, we've seen our fathers going to these mixed events where it was like a party. But no one will come if there's a party. Maybe now people like watching football, so let's put football on. Let's call all the brothers and the sisters and we all watch football together. And then afterwards, we'll have some sort of dawat and give a speech. You see where this is going? Slowly, 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 Islam is changing. The way people started turning to idol worship, this is the same manner. And this is Shaitan's playbook from day one. From day one, move us away from the sunnah, move us away from the sharia of Islam, move us away from the Quran and sunnah, whatever strategy as possible. Just like those people who made those figures, they had no intention of doing kufr. They did not know that one day these statues which we are making, people will start worshipping them. Same today. The same thing today, good intention. Eventually, it'll reach a stage where, okay, now we have to do this in the masjid. No one is going to the masjid now. Let's bring these activities into the masjid. And it will reach a time where people will not know that free mixing is haram. Just like the mushrikeen, just like the idol worshippers, they did not know that worshipping that idol is wrong. They were totally oblivious to it. As far as they knew, this is, in fact, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and told them that this is wrong, they were saying, no, how can this be wrong? So it had totally changed. The whole religion, the whole teaching had totally vanished. And this is Shaitan's playbook. Move you slowly away. He also has to climb the mountain, but his mountain, he's also climbing in baby steps. Generation by generation, generation by generation, small, small steps. And now this is why we have reached the stage where now we are going in reverse. The peak of Islam, when Islam was strong, now it is going in reverse all around the world. We are slowly going back to becoming ignorant, foolish, blind. the way it was before the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are set in that course that we are going in reverse. And as the generations go on and move on, the people who will be standing up and speaking out will slowly, slowly, slowly decrease. In some countries, there is no one speaking out to give da'wat. There's no one, and in fact, the ulama have been silenced by committees. In some countries, the ulama have been silenced by committees that don't speak. Don't say that all this that we are doing is haram, because then we will not get the funding. We will not get the funding from charities. We will not get people interested in coming. We have to do the march. We have to stand up and show our support. Now, if you speak out that mixing is haram, no one will come. You're going to cause division. You're going to be causing division. So we, as an individual, we will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be told the Quran was in front of you, the Hadith was in front of you, the stories of the Sahaba was in front of you, the teachings of Islam was in front of you, the ulama were warning you. So why didn't you listen? What answer will we give? What will we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But we had good intentions. We disobeyed you, Ya Allah, because we had good intentions. Was the outcome in your hand? No, the outcome is not in your hand. So what will difference would your good intentions make if the action itself is haram? Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, we have finished our time and we may have gone a bit off topic, but let us remember these lessons. Let us remember these important lessons. In our life, everything we do, everything we are taught, we ourselves have to ensure that this is what the Quran and Sunnah says. And if we have a slight doubt, then ask. Ask. There are so many places we can turn to ask, so many ulama that we can turn to ask. We should ask that, okay, this, I want to know, I've been told to do this, but in my heart is, if when your iman is in your heart will not feel right about it. Your heart will say, no, this don't feel right. This, your heart will not accept. So your heart will say, no, this is not correct. So we have to do our own tahqiq. We have to do our own research at times to make sure that we are following the path of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the strength, all of us the strength to stand up and give da'wah and call people towards Islam. And when we call people to Islam, we feel this energy, subhanallah, you know. It's indescribable, this energy to do good. It gives us a boost when we start talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us a boost of iman. And this is the boost that we should strive for every day. It's like food. When we eat the food, or when we have ice cream, it tastes so nice, mashallah. Oh, the ice cream tastes so nice. And we can't wait till we have ice cream again. Maybe it might be after a week, maybe after a month, or whatever dish that we like. When we eat that dish, we are so happy. We can't wait to have that dish again. So similarly, when we do the work of da'wah, it gives us a boost and this nur enters our hearts. So inshallah, let us take these lessons today. And I'm sorry that we already covered a few pages, but the maqsad is not to run through the book. The maqsad is not to run through the book, but to learn as much as we can, inshallah. Jazakallah for joining us, and inshallah, we will see you next week, inshallah. And please invite others, people, to this lesson also. And the more people we invite, we are also being rewarded. Because we invite someone, they may learn something. And even if they don't learn something, just by being present in this majlis, because it is a majlis where we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and giving da'wat, it is a majlis of reward. It is a majlis for the work of deen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being a means of fitna. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.